Not everybody can say that. Because some's holding on to the world way too tight. And if he came right now, it would mess up your plans. It'd mess up what you've got going on. It'd interrupt your 25-year plan. But can I say it doesn't matter what I have planned or what you have planned? When he comes, he's coming. But I am convinced that you and I will be going before he comes. So as your pastor, I say just be ready. He's a preacher I got forever, do you? Don't do a lot of old folk funerals. Don't do a lot of old folk funerals. Do a lot of young folk funerals. Teenagers, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Don't do a lot of old folks' funerals. Do a lot of 60s. Do a lot of 70s. Don't do a lot of old folks' funerals. Be ready. I want to preach a message that God's laid on my... Man, we ain't doom and gloom right here, amen? Hey, we ain't at a funeral. We ain't at a funeral. And if we are at a funeral and they know the Lord, it ain't doom and gloom. Amen? So we've come to worship Jesus. If you have a Bible, I ask you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Last Sunday, be not deceived, God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember that? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This morning, I've got a word I just want to preach that the Lord's laid on my heart, and I'm thankful to be here. And the title of my sermon is this: this place is just too straight for me. This place is just too straight. Just too straight. Just too straight around here, Brother Brent. You go to the doctor, you want him to be straight with you. You go to a car dealer, and you want him to be... You don't want a crooked doctor. You don't want a crooked car salesman. You don't want a crooked politician. And you sure don't want a crooked preacher. See, I can say that because I'm a preacher. This place just too straight. What they say. I love that compliment about us. Just too straight around there. Too conservative, too laid back, too old-fashioned. I love that. I thought I'd never get to the place where I said, man, you old-fashioned. I like old-fashioned. I like old people. They got wisdom. They got knowledge. You get around old people, you know what? They make you laugh. I've been around David Barnes a little bit, son. I like... You don't owe me nothing for that, Brother Dave. I just like old people. You know what I'm saying? They're good for you. They're good for you. We need a younger generation that wants to be around some old people. We need a younger generation that wants to be, don't want to be with a new movement. You be careful with something that's new on the scene. Jesus ain't new. Jesus ain't a rock and roll Jesus. He's not a Hollywood Jesus. He is not even a Harley Davidson Jesus. He's a holy Jesus. He's King of Kings, and He's Lord of Lords. He's either Lord of all in your life, or He's not Lord at all. You choose. But this place here is just too straight. I want to preach this morning, it's just too straight. The world we live in, everybody wants everything given to them straight until it comes to the house of God. If you preach something they don't like, they'll hit the trail. They'll jump the rail, hit the trail, and drop the pill. I've heard that said so many times. But when do we get to the place where we said we don't want church straight? Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. So this morning I want to preach. It's just too straight for us. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 1. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to stand if you're able. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Man of God, it's just too straight now. We don't like it straight. We'd rather not have it that way. They said, let us go. Let us go, we pray, unto Jordan. And take this every man a beam. And let us make us a place over there. Let us go over there and start something. Let us go over there. It's just too straight here. Let us go over there and it'll be better. If we can get over there, it'll be. If I can do it my way and not God's way, it'll be better and we'll still worship God. Don't you believe that lie? That lies straight from the pits of hell. He said, let us go over yonder to the other place where we may dwell. And he answered, here's what the man of God said. He said, go ye. But that wasn't enough. Look what they said. They said, and one said, but be content, man of God. I pray thee and go with thy servants. And he answered and said, I'll go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was filing a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Lord, I thank you that the way is still straight. Father, I thank you that there's a church out here in the middle of nowhere that is still doing it the right way, the straight way, the way that's pleasing to you, the way that's in the book right now. Father, Lord God, I pray that you continue to bless, that you continue to watch over us, that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you. Let me not preach out of my mind, but not even out of my heart, but let me preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Out of my mind, it would be corrupt. Out of my heart, it would be crooked. But if it comes from the Holy Ghost this morning, it will be correct. And Lord, I'm asking you to move on the one that's lost. I ask you to save them. I pray for the one that's backslidden. I'm praying for the one that's looking to go a little crooked. Lord, I pray you straighten us all out this morning. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning as we come and we look in 2 Kings, we see that the sons of the prophet came to Elijah. They came to the man of God. I'm talking about the one that in 2 Kings chapter number 2, he looked up and he told Elijah, he said, I want a double portion of what God's put on you. I want a double portion that you've got in your life. That's what Elijah told Elijah. He said, I want double what you got. Can anybody look at your life and say, I'd love to have double than what God's blessed you with? I'd like to have double what you got. That spirit that's on you, the way you pray, the way you study, I want God to double what you got on your life that I may have it. That's what Elijah said. That's what he said about Elijah. But also in 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 16, you remember he went to that little Shunammite woman. And you remember what he told her? He told her, he said, you're going to have a child. And she said, man of God, don't you lie to me. And he said, I'm not lying to you. And verse number 17 says, and she conceived. And 2 Kings chapter number 5, you remember Naaman, he had a spot. And here's what he did. He had to go to where Elijah was. He had to go to that place. And when he got to where Elijah was said, you go dip yourself seven times in the Jordan. And he got mad and didn't want to do it the straight way. He didn't want to do it the right way. And some little old maid there came, and here's what they said. Said, go find that man of God. And his man that was with him said, if he'd have asked you to do something hard, you'd have went and done it. He went and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, and you know what happened? He came out clean. I'm talking about they coming to somebody that they've seen God do miracles. They've seen people be healed. They've seen people be delivered. They've seen same things set free, but it's just too straight for them. They've seen Brother Eric Carruth have a spot on his side and God heal him. They've seen people all over this room. They've seen Brother Charles die at Jack's and then God reached down. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you what, we've seen miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. And you say, preacher, what does that mean? If you ain't careful, you'll forget the miracles that God is doing and you'll be looking for something that just ain't that straight. Look what he said here. Then they said, this place where we dwell with thee is just too straight for us. What you've got going on is just too straight. And look what he said here in verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, Elijah, behold now the place where we dwell, where there is too straight for us. Here's what they did. Number one, they complained about the place. They said, it's just too straight. What you got going on is just too straight. Hey, can I say to you, they said, it's just too old-fashioned. Won't you let us go over here and do something? Won't you let us go over there? It's just too straight. It's just old-fashioned. It just ain't enough. Friends, I'm telling you, when God ain't enough, I don't know what else we can do. when the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough, I don't know what we can do as a church. We are in trouble. Just too straight, just old-fashioned, just ain't enough. You know what they didn't want? They didn't want old-time religion. They didn't want it the old way. They didn't want old-time religion. They didn't want the old-time Bible. And they didn't want you to get full of old-time joy, Brother Brad. They didn't want to see people hollering and screaming and shouting over what God can do. You say, preacher, why did they complain about the place? Because they didn't want the straight path. They didn't want it straight. Friends, I'm telling you, in Matthew chapter number 7, in verse number 13, the Bible says, and this is what Jesus said. This is what is written in red. Jesus said it. He said, enter you in at the straight gate. He said, I want you to go in at the straight gate. Because here's the reason why. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You get on that wide path, it's going to lead you to destruction. You get on that wide path, and I want you to know, you think the straight path is tough, you get on the wide path. You stay on that straight path, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to stay on the straight place. We need to stay straight with God. I wrote this down in my notes. Man, it's just too hard to walk when the path is straight. It's just too hard to walk when the path is straight. And I wrote down, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because you tell somebody to go the straight way, walk the straight path, be straight, don't be crooked. You stay straight with what God's called you to do. And they complain because it's just too straight. I ask you today, I'm asking you, what about the straight path? If I'm going to walk around this building, I want to go to the straightest path I can go down. I don't know who in here, I'd say, hey, if you want to go to the bathroom back there, all you've got to do is just walk straight down that aisle there, walk right through, and the door's right there, and go straight to the bathroom. And they say, I'll tell you what I'm doing, I'm going to enter white twine in every one of these pews. I'm going to go in every one of these pews, go in and out, in and out, in and out. I'm not going to go that straight path. Friends, I want you to know this. You stay on that straight path. No matter what comes your way, you stay on that straight path. There's what they told him. They told Elijah, they said, we're going to go over there. We want to go to somewhere else. We want to do something else. And you know what he said? He said, you go. You go on and do what you want to do. But friends, listen to me. Don't you compromise on what's straight in the Word of God. Do not never compromise on what's straight in the Word of God. I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your friends. I don't care if it's friends in the faith. You stand by that book, and the God of that book will stand by you. You start wavering on that book. You start compromising. You start talking out of both corners of your mouth. It won't be long. You'll be standing by yourself, and God will let you have what you want. You stand by that book. You stand on that Word, no matter what anybody thinks, because I'm telling you, when people complain, that doesn't mean what they're complaining about is right. Amen? Let me tell you this. He said this. He said, I want you to know this, man. They said, it's just too straight. So they complained about the place. Man, I've heard so much complaining in my life. Ain't you? Ain't you? I told Brother Jonathan Mixon back there. He said, you're doing good. I said, I'm doing good. I said, well, I do got a list about that long. Let me tell you this. They complained about the place. But number two, they tried to compromise the prophet. Getting their way wasn't enough. They're going to compromise the prophet. Here's what they say. Don't you compromise. Well, I want everybody to be feel welcome. Don't you compromise. Don't you welcome everybody and run the Holy Ghost off. Don't you welcome everybody and run the Holy Ghost straight away from you. Don't you do that. Listen to me. God is God. He's got to be Lord of all. And here's what he said. He says, just do straight. Look, they complained about the place and they tried to compromise the prophet. Look in verse number 3. And one said, they all wanted to go, but the prophet said, you go. And then one of them come back and said, come on, go with us. Come on, go with us. Come on, one beer won't hurt. One won't bother you. If I'd have never drunk a Budweiser, I'd have never done crystal meth. I said, what? If I'd have never drunk Budweiser, I'd never took crystal meth. What do you mean, preacher? Drinking a Budweiser and they slipped it in my drink. First time I ever used crystal meth in my life. It won't hurt just a little bit. Friends, listen to me. Sin hurts. Sin ain't that bad. Preacher, it don't hurt that bad. Sin's what hung Jesus on the cross. Because we were guilty of sin. Don't compromise. They complained and they tried to compromise the prophet. Look in verse number 3. And one said, here's what he said to the prophet. Here's what he said to men and women of God. Here's what he said. And you've heard this and I had to. They said this, just be content. Just be content. Preacher, just calm down. It ain't worth getting excited about. Quit sweating. Calm down. Just calm down. It's okay. We're all going to heaven. I don't know that, and you don't know that. That's between you and the Lord. To that one that's asked Jesus Christ to come to the... Here's what they told Elijah. said, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. Here's what they said. One said, be content, man of God. You know what that means? That means loosen up a little bit. Loosen up, man of God. Daddy, it's got a tight grip on your kids. Daddies, it's got sons, and you've got a tight grip on them. And they say, you ought not raise it. Don't loosen up on them. As soon as you loosen up, Satan gets his grip. Man, woo, Brother Brad. Oh, Lord. He said, just be content. You're going to church. That's good enough. No, it is not. Just be content, man of God. Let me give you this. Loosen up. That's what that means. Let go. Live a little bit. Does that not sound like the world we live in? Loosen up, man. Live a little bit. Let go. Let the good times roll. Quit praying for your family. See what happens. Quit praying for your marriage. See what happens. Quit doing things straight at your home. Quit doing Bible devotions with your family. Quit praying when you eat. Quit telling them we're going to church. So, well, whatever you want to do, that's up to you, hon. I come this morning to let you know the way is still straight. The way is still straight. No matter if the sons of the prophets complain, no matter if your kids complain, no matter if your spouse complains, no matter who complains, the way is still straight. And I'm talking to somebody, I'm telling you, I live in a world, and you do too, where people compromise just to fit in. Elijah went, but he wasn't content. Listen to me. You go where you ain't supposed to be, you may go, but you won't be content. They said, one said, just be content. Come on. It don't take one, Brother Tony, get in your ear. Who you lend an ear to will affect your whole future. Who you lend an ear to will affect your whole future. You get sick, you get down in the hospital, and the doctor comes in and says, good news, you're going to make it, you're going to live. Won't be long, you'll be walking out of there. Doctor walk in the hospital and said, bad news, you're dying, ain't nothing we can do. Won't be long, that person will be dead. Why? Because they've lended an ear. What you listen to affects your whole future. If it's doom and gloom, down and out, it won't be long. You'll be doom and gloom, down and out. You get around, somebody says, I don't know what all's going on. I don't know. I can't trace his hand. I sure do trust him. Amen. I can't trace his hand. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I trust him. And I will not complain, and I will not compromise. I will stand the test of time. Let me show you this in the book. Man, this right here is just good stuff. I'm telling you, get this right here. And I wrote this down. And Brother Colin, you made it this morning, son. When I was studying and wrote this down, loosen up, let go, live a little bit, get comfortable if you will. And I wrote this in my notes. I quote Brother Colin McElwain, comfort kills. You get comfortable, Satan gonna have a hold on you. Church, we get comfortable, Satan gonna have a hold on us. You preacher get comfortable, Satan gonna get a hold on you. People in the pew get comfortable, Satan gonna get a hold on you. And here, I'm gonna give you this. Elijah went, but he wasn't content. And I want to share with you this. This is the blunt of my message I want to get to, man, and I want to tell you this straight so you get it. They complained about the place. They tried to compromise the prophet. And because they went somewhere else, they lost something so precious. They lost something so precious. What you have right now is precious. If you don't like what God's blessed you with now, if he doubled it, you still wouldn't like it. I'm just telling you, they've seen fire fall from heaven. They've seen Naaman healed. They've seen the Shunammite that wasn't supposed to be having a baby have a baby. They've seen, man, and we should get an amen right there. Son, these mamas all over this place that's got new babies. They was talking this morning in my class, we're all in the 40s, and they're talking about having grandbabies. I said, beg your pardon, some of us still having babies around here. Why? Because we didn't complain about it. We didn't complain about it when he didn't give us that child. But we also didn't compromise. We stayed the course. Lord, we believe you and we trust you. Preacher, how does things move in your life? By faith. When I can't see it, I believe him anyway. And when the naysayer said, that ain't the way it is, I said, well, yes, that's what he told me. You can't argue with what God tells somebody. You can't argue with that book. You can't argue what's going on in that word. You can't argue with that. But listen to me. When people don't believe what you believe, they'll try to get you to compromise to get what they believe. You believe that book and don't you compromise this morning. because you'll lose something so precious. Your old time religion, your old time Bible. Next pastor coming here probably be using NIV. Next pastor coming here probably be using something off the wall if you compromise. Folks, I told Les Carr the other day, we're at a crossroads at this church. We can either compromise, and I know this ain't a Sunday morning message, but you hear him, we're going to talk about it. You can either compromise with the, or you can stand with the book. There's so many people that has complained and compromised, and they lose so much, it's so precious. So, preacher, you believe that? I know that. Let me show you what they lost that was so precious to them. They lost it. Number one, they lost their edge. When you complain and you compromise, you lose your edge. That sharpness, that sharp cut, the Word of God is sharp and quicker, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It cuts going in, cuts going in. And when you lose that and you compromise on that, listen to me this morning, when you compromise on that and you act like it ain't important and you calm down and you just take it easy, you start compromising, you start losing. And you lose your edge. You lose your edge. This morning, I look around this room and I don't want not one person to lose their edge in what God's done in their life. I want you to be sharp. I want you to be sharp in the spirit. I'm talking about sharp, ready to go. Man, you can take a chainsaw. Men, you'll get this. Women, you'll get this. You can take a chainsaw with a dull, the same motor, the same power, the same engine, everything, and you put a bad chain on that thing, it won't do nothing but smoke. It won't cut nothing. You can take that same saw, that same everything the same, and just change the chain, and you ain't got to do no work. Because why? It's got an edge about it. You ain't got to do the cutting. It does all the work. The Holy Ghost is what does all. Let me show you where they lost their edge. Because they complained about the place they was at to the man of God and they went somewhere else, they got to start doing the work. Listen to me. I look around here and I see Sister Sharon and Brother John sitting there. There's some people laid groundwork here. Johnny and Mavis Egger, they laid groundwork here. I look around this room, Miss Patsy, you and your husband, y'all done work around here. Y'all laid the groundwork around here. I look around this room, people's done work around here before we ever got here, before you ever come on the scene. It's to be leadership, they done work here. They already laid that foundation. They already laid that for us, and they plowed that ground. And preacher, what do? You get right in them rows that they plowed, and you keep on plowing. Don't you get out of your road. Don't you get out of your place. You plow that road. You plow that road. You plow it. You stay with the stuff. Listen to me. You stay with it. I'm concerned about our church. And you stick with it. Don't you complain and don't you compromise. You stick with that word. Why? Because when you start compromising, you're going to lose your edge. I've seen so many preachers lose their edge. I've went where preachers has preached. They go in with a suit on. I'm talking about just like God had called us to do, to wear our best, be our best, do our best. I go preach a revival for them and I can't tell the difference in the preacher and the one sitting in the pew. And when I get up to open my Bible, I'm like, hey, we still doing it? Oh, it don't matter. Bring whatever you want to preach out of. What? Man of God, you used to not compromise on not one word. You used to stay strong on that word. And now you tell me just bring whatever I want to bring. Preach out of whatever Bible I want to preach out of. Don't let that get here. I beg you, don't let that get here. Don't you complain. And don't you compromise. Because it's going to cost you something precious. We was in the prayer room a while ago. I don't know how many men was in there. I know there's one in there. He's the Holy Ghost. Little Ryder, my little boy, nothing special about him. He's just my boy. Be around him for about 3 minutes, you understand. Ain't a whole lot special about him. But I don't want to lose that, Brother Kevin. I don't want my boy not knowing what a prayer room's about. I don't want him to know what a church is without a prayer room. He come in there. Sonny laid in the floor. Brother Bradley told me last week. I got so tickled about it. He was in there and we all bowed our head. We was all praying. Brother Bradley said he'd come over trying to open his eyelids, making sure he had his eyes closed. Over there all alone, he wanted to see. Well, he ought to act better than that. Oh, no, we're raising him up. Raising him up. Why do we still got a prayer room? Why do we still got, why? Because we ain't complaining that we got to meet a little early to pray. We ain't compromising. We're sticking with it, Brother Brad. Because we don't want to lose something so precious. Sister Kim, we don't want to lose something so precious in our women's ministry. Brother Brent, we don't want to lose something so precious in our men's ministry where we just let anything go. Brother Riley, we don't want to lose something so precious in our youth that we just let anything go and anything's okay. We don't want to lose something so precious. And you lose that edge, you're in trouble. They lost their edge. Why did they lose their edge, preacher? Because they left where the Spirit of God was dwelling. And they went over there where it's not as straight. Where it's not as straight. Where it's just not as straight. Brother Jim, you're going to build a house. Just give me the crooked level. It'll be okay. Right? No. No. Hey, that straight edge, don't just beat it to death and hand it to me, Brother Greg. Then I'll make a straight edge by it. I'm not really worried about it. If it's 8 inches out, it ain't going. Out's out. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You know I am. The straight way's the right way. The straight way is where we need daddies and mamas and children on. He said, well, don't you worry about the government. Don't you worry about this nation and what it's doing. You worry about you and what you're doing. You make sure you're on the straight path. You make sure you're on the narrow way. You make sure you're on it. It costs you something so precious. It costs you your edge. Said they was filing. Filing a beam. That's a Detroit term. They're just cutting a tree down. That's all they was doing, just cutting a tree. And it's cutting that tree and the axe head fell off. The axe head fell off. I want to show you this in the Bible. I want you to look at this. The axe head fell off. Verse number 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was filing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You'll lose something precious. It'll cost you your edge. Let me give you a few things that'll dull your edge, and you make sure you stay away from them. Complaining will dull you. Cutting down on people will dull you. Contentment will dull you. But most of all, compromise will dull you. They lost their edge and they lost their excitement. They were so excited to go over yonder. They were so excited to get over yonder. Brother Colin, they were so excited to get over there. And when they got over there, it cost them. It cost them their edge. It cost them their excitement. Man, we can't wait to go. The leaving's always fun. It's the coming back that I dread. Somebody talk to me. Y'all went and seen grandbabies. Going, it was exciting. Couldn't wait to get there. I'm talking about some of y'all jumping up and down, having a good time, stopped at Wendy's, got you something to eat probably, got you a loaded tea, y'all ready to go. Couldn't wait to get there. Don't act like y'all don't drink loaded teas. There wouldn't be no nutrition places. Come here telling that. If I've done something bad, I know how to make my wife happy. I don't care what kind of doghouse I'm in, I can stop by the loaded tea and bring one home. And she's like, oh, look what you've done. I can spend $300 and bring home $8 tea and everything's okay. Y'all think I'm kidding? But y'all was excited to go. Y'all had excitement. And after you seen the baby was born, everything good, and you got coming back, you told Brent, and I wasn't even in the truck. You told Brent, said, I'm going to slap out of you. Yeah. Going sure was fun, but coming back's about to kill me. Same way as it is in your Christian life. Getting out of the will of God. Sure is fun. I ain't going to lie to you. It's fun. It's fun blowing your top and telling somebody what you think. It's fun. It's fun just going crazy. It's fun. But coming back sure ain't fun. Coming back ain't no fun. Even though they was complaining, even though they compromised, and even though they lost their edge and they lost it. When they didn't know what to do, who'd they call on? Man of God, what are we going to do now? I don't know what you're going to do. I ain't in this. I'm talking to somebody. What are we going to do now? You know what man of God didn't do? He didn't say, figure it out on your own. He didn't. Man of God said, where'd you lose it at? He made them confess. He made them confess. He made them confess. He said, where'd you lose it at? I'm asking somebody this morning, where have you lost your edge at? That's where you'll find it. That's where you'll find. Where'd you lose your excitement tonight as you get to go to church? Or this morning you get to go to church? Where'd you lose it at? Wherever you lost it, that's where you'll find it. You said, preacher, I don't know you. Oh, yes. And the man of God said, where's it at? Where'd you lose it at? Tell me. And you know what they knew? They knew exactly where they quit and where it was. They knew right where Sister Joanna, their joy was. They knew right where the excitement and their edge and when they used to love to sing. They used to love it. Nobody, nothing just toward them. They loved it. They knew exactly where it was. And he said, you want it? Go get me a stick. You want it? There's somebody here this morning. You want it? You're going to have to get it back. Man of God can pray for you. Man of God can help you. But until you get to the place you say, I got to have it back, you won't get it back. So, preacher, what'd they do? He took that stick. He laid it out on that water. And that axe head defined gravity. It is supposed to sink. And it's supposed to stay on the bottom. It ain't supposed to float. But I don't care what kind of mess you're in this morning, God can get you out of your mess and make you float again. I don't care what kind of mess you've made in your life, God will make you float again. If you'll get to the place, you'll cry out to Him. I don't care how much water that's over your head or water's under the bridge. If you'll cry out to God, He'll do a work in your life. It doesn't matter the weight. It doesn't matter the water. And it doesn't matter with the weariness that's on your life. If you'll just call out to Almighty God, you'll get back what's been so precious to you. Let me show you this in the book before we close. Let me show you this in the book. Man, here's what he said. Look with me in verse number 4 and 5. But as it's falling the beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Last master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where'd it fall at?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee," and put it on his hand, and he took it. He took it. No longer would he complain. No longer was he willing to compromise. But he was willing to get back what was so precious to him. If you read on over in this same chapter and you read on over in verse number 16, verse number 15, verse number 16, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." In the same chapter, Elijah said, "Don't worry about it, son." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. Open his eyes." 2 Kings 6:17. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Listen to me. The way is straight. And if you don't do the straight way, you're not going to make it all the way. Listen to me right now. I'm telling you, bottom of my heart. It's his way. Not Brother BJ's. Not yours. It's his way. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. When you or me start complaining, my vision ain't where it used to be. When you or I start compromising as a church, our vision won't be where it used to be. You or I do that, it's going to cost us some precious stuff. It's going to cost us precious moments that are in our life. And you'll never know when you're on empty until you run out of gas. You trust your light on your car, I trust the light on my car. I don't fill up when I'm on half a tank. Some of you may do. I wait till I get pretty low. And I even do that in my spiritual life. Shame on me. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to close. And if you've lost an edge or you've lost any excitement, you need to be in this altar. We got a real enemy, and he's the devil. He's our adversary. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Not lick. Devour. He's not going to cuddle up beside you like a kitten. He's going to kill you. We got down to where we was going on her conference this week, and we could not wait, Brother Kevin, to get on a golf cart to ride around just a little bit. We throwed our stuff in the room. Me, Kaylee, and Ryder, we jump on that golf cart. I turned the key over, unplugged it, full charge. I'm talking about full to the brim is what it said. We hopped on that thing and we pushed the gas. We run at about 18 miles an hour. Wind blowing in her hair, everything's good. Her hair. Everything's good. Everything's great. All of a sudden, we go from 18 to 10, to 5, to 3, to empty. Zero electricity. We roll up, call them. They said, don't keep running. Man, God's all in it. Don't keep running. Don't keep trying to run it. Let it build up. We're coming. We're looking for you, but you're going to have to stay there till I get there. You know what I did? I turned the key back on, got about 2 more miles an hour. Brandy said, they're not going to find us if you don't stay still and quit running. Place just too straight for me, preacher. I used to like it when you preached on sin. Used to like it when you preached hard. Used to like it when you told it like it was. Now it's just a little bit too straight. It ain't the word. It ain't the preacher. What's the problem? I used to like it, but now it offends me. What's the problem? Preaching the same book. Telling you about the same Jesus. Telling you we just like the people in the Bible, and unless we repent, we shall likewise perish. Nothing different. They come up to my little old cart I was at, and they said, we're going to do a police report. I said, a police report? I'm on a golf cart. He said, yeah, but we have to do that for the condos, let them know how they're doing things. I said, okay. I said, hey, man, how many of these run out today? He said, you're my 33rd one today. I said, 33rd? I said, you get paid to haul people around and come get their golf cart? He said, yeah, it's a full-time job. 33 people. I was the 33rd, Brother Kevin, that had run out. So what I'm trying to tell you as a pastor, I know it's not hard. There's a lot of y'all in here, including myself. My edge is not where it used to be. You said that many people loses their edge? If 33 golf carts should die in a day, you can lose your edge. Excitement. Man, excited to be at the house of God. Excited for what God will do. He said, leave your family here and get in with me. We got to go. Man, God was speaking to me. Leave your family here, man. You got to go. See, it ain't between me and my family. It's between me and him. I got in that truck, and he closed the door, and he said, what do you think, man? I said, man, God's good to me. Not one time has he let me down on his promises. That golf cart might have let me down, but he ain't. And that guy hit brake on his car, and he looked at me, and he said, what'd you say? I thought, I'm in here with this officer. I done messed up now. I'm just called Brent Gunner. Send me some money. I need out of jail. Surely they get me out of jail for one time. He said, what did you just say? And I told him. I said, man, God ain't never let me down one time. All his promises are true in that word. I said, I should have looked better. I should have known. It was on me. That when it dying was on me. And he said, but let me tell you what God changed it dying. Let me tell you how God changed it. I said, what's that? He said, 3 weeks ago I got saved. He said, I was a devouted Roman Catholic. Devouted. He said, I'd go to church every Sunday. I'd throw my money in the plate. I would go confess. I'd do everything I was supposed to do. Everything I was supposed to do, I did it to the T. Did it to the T. But I'd sit there and look at the watch. When is he ever going to shut up? And he said, I moved here. And he said, 3 weeks ago, I got saved. And he said, it's the hardest thing I've ever done trying to walk it. He said, but this morning when I come to work, I asked the Lord, please put somebody in my path to encourage me. Son, I got talking to that man. Took us forever to get back and pick Brandy and Ryder up. And we pulled back up. Let me tell you how he was not ashamed. And I seen an edge about him, Brother Kevin. Hadn't been saved but 3 weeks, but he had an edge. Son, I'm talking about glowing. He had an edge about it. He was excited to talk Jesus. And when we pulled back up, I went to get Brandy off, tell her to get in. And he said, hey, tell your wife. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, yeah, he got saved 3 weeks. He said, no. Not that. Tell your wife. What you want me to tell her? He said, tell her how I prayed to God. Tell her how I prayed to God that he'd send somebody. Tell her how I prayed. There's people standing there where him telling that story. And I said, baby, he got saved 3 weeks ago. And he was looking for God to send somebody his way to encourage him. Now, I run out of gas. And I was on the side of the road. I had a choice, Brother Roy, to either be sour or to spread the word. That golf cart could have took my edge. It could have took my excitement. But I'm talking to somebody this morning. Don't you let the cares of this world take your joy. You stay on that straight path no matter what it takes. No matter what it costs you, you stay on the straight path. Please, I beg you. You got kids watching you. I told them in Sunday school this morning, if me and Brandy gets killed in a car wreck, I don't want my daughter going through my house and find something that I had hid. Uh-oh. I don't want her to know I've been preaching to y'all. Y'all stay straight and I'm crooked at home. I don't want her to go into daddy's drawers and get looking and there's stuff. She's like, I can't believe my daddy would ever do that. But he's gone now. What have I left behind? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you'll stay on the straight path, I promise you this morning, you'll reap straight. You'll reap his blessings. You'll reap his benefits if you'll stand by that book. But I can't promise you nothing but bad if you waver on what he's called you to do. When you want to go your own way and do your own thing, you're walking right out of the hand of God and right out of his protection and saying, Lord, let me have it the way I want it. You don't want that. Stay on the straight path. Go straight is the way. And narrow is the way that leads unto life. And he says, few be that find their way. Few. He said, preacher, heaven's going to be crowded. I beg to differ. I've read the book. Heaven's not going to be crowded. Because few enter in. Who then can be saved, preacher? Those that will call on the name of the Lord. This morning I ask you a question. Are you on the straight path? Are you on at the straight place in your life? Or you can say, whatever happens to me, I'm good. If you're not this morning, I ask you to get in this altar. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out in your seat. Whatever. Folks, we got to get our edge back. We got to get that excitement back. I'm talking about an edge and excitement for what God's called us to do. I don't know about you, but I sure am hungry for it. Let us pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I do love you and I do thank you and I do praise you. Lord, I thank you right now for your blood, your mercy, and your grace. I'm asking you right now to touch the ones that's in the pews. Touch the ones that's going to be singing. Touch myself. Touch us all this morning, Father. Let us not walk out of your protection in the plan that you have for our life. Father, your word says in John 14:6 that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by you. And Father, if we're on that straight path, we're with you. Lord, so many times this old world wants us to go crooked. And I pray this morning that everybody on the sound of my voice is on that straight path. I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all God's people said, I ask you to stand.